Well, happy birthday, Hill Country Bible Church. My name is Rick Trevino, and I want to share a little bit, if you don't mind. Just kind of bear with me, because it's kind of hard to say this in such a short amount of time with a straight face. But I'm a husband of my wife Carla of 16 years. Tim married us. We have three kids. Luke is 14, and my daughter Olivia is 10, and my youngest, Presley, she's 6 years old, and my wife is a teacher at Lake Travis Elementary. She's been an Awana leader for 10 years, and I'm a country music singer. I've been doing it for on the road, touring, and making records for about 17, 18 years now, and if I wasn't the first... I was probably one of the very first guests at Hill Country Bible Church. I think I might have been. And looking back, I want to share with you what God has done to the Trevino family, the generations of the Trevino family. It all started, I was born in Houston. My little brother and I, my mom and dad, moved to Austin when I was about 5 years old. And my mom and dad still live over here in Forest North. That's where they still live. Mom was kind of the spiritual leader of the house, and we were kind of a traditional Catholic household. And mom would take my brother and I to church periodically, but I was always thirsting for something else. And fast forward, I was in high school. I must have been a freshman or sophomore in high school. I was going to Westwood High School, and one of the founding families of Hill Country Bible Church invited me to go to church at Hill Country Bible Church. And so I went. It was an elementary school classroom, as you saw. I remember being quenched. My thirst was quenched that day when I heard the sermon, and I heard how applicable the messages were to my life. And about 6 months later, I got another gift from the Brinkle family, and it was a book. I think it was a book written by Chuck Swindoll, and the third page was a devotional about receiving Christ. And I remember I was just finished doing my homework, and my mom and dad were in the living room. My brother was in his room doing his homework or playing Nintendo, whatever. And I knelt down next to my bed and asked Christ to come into my life. And I remember at that point, looking back, I remember vividly how the Brinkle family and Hill Country Bible Church gently and persistently witnessed to the Trevino family. And as the years passed, my mom invited Christ to her life and into her life. My little brother did as well. And one of the coolest moments when I look back at the 25 years is when my little sister was born when I was a senior in high school. And I remember my dad going to church for the first time. I'd never seen him go to church. And I remember seeing him and my mom, my brother and I, and I was him and my mom dedicate my little sister to Christ. That was one of the most special moments. And I guess what I want to say before I sing To You Be the Glory is that, you know, look, when I think about the memories from day one, I just think of so many things, and it's we don't have enough time to go into it. But I want to say to the church body here at Hill Country Bible Church, look what God has done. Not just for the Trevino family, but I bet you look around you and you will see families that have the same kind of generational impact that Hill Country has had. And to the staff at Hill Country Bible Church, to the Hawks family, to the Brinkle family, to all the elders, to the elders of the past, to the elders of the present, to all the angels and elders and the members that are celebrating with us today, looking down on us from heaven, I want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You've changed generations of the Trevino family, and I hope that you will continue to change generations to come by keeping Christ first. So why don't we stand and sing To You Be the Glory.
Been faithful. you remain constant and true. Gentle Savior, we trust in you.
Well, great morning. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but Rick actually wrote that song for this occasion, and we're just so excited about that. The beauty of being part of a church is you receive and you give. You receive the ministry, and you give ministry to other people as well. From the beginning, Hill Country Bible Church really started with a clear purpose, and that was that people would experience the life-changing reality of Jesus Christ. And that's what our prayer was, that's what our goal was, that's what our hope was. And if we had time to add to the stories that Rick shared this morning, we could add a myriad more, but I just want us to add one more story to that. So watch and see the generations that have been changed over the past 25 years through the ministry that God has brought through Hill Country Bible Church. Let's watch together.
Hi, we're Joe and Debbie Lucerto, and we have two children, Nicole. Shoemaker and Joey Lacerdo that both attend Northwest. They're married to Ryan Shoemaker and Beth Lacerdo. We have 5 grandchildren. And 18 years ago, we did not have a single believer in our family.
Yeah, I think about Lucy, and she's, you know, her life, and here we are all family of believers, and, you know, she's not going to know anything about our past, and pretty happy about that.
In the Bible, it tells us that sin is passed down from generation to generation, that the sins of our fathers continues through the generations, and I'm just so grateful that God chose Joe and I to be able to stop the generational sins in our family, knowing that our children and our grandchildren are walking with the Lord, and even seeing some of our sisters and brothers and aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews and even our parents being able to share in their relationship with Christ. It's been just such an awesome privilege to have God use us. We're just so grateful to Him. Our sin issues in the past were both of us were very self-centered, focusing on ourselves, wanting to be in control, and you know, which led us to having
extramarital affairs, you know, unfortunately there was a lot of fighting in the house, and the kids saw that on a regular basis. You know, the arguing was pretty much a constant thing when things turned bad.
My parents weren't in love. Rather, they were the opposite. They hated each other, and they were separated, and they hit each other, and they were pursuing everything besides what was holy and what was right.
And so it's just neat now seeing because of Christ in their lives and the restoration He's brought to their marriage, and just really all you can say is life change. You would have no idea that really not too long ago there was a broken marriage in a broken family, really just on the brink of complete separation.
All of the sin areas were a result of us searching for something to fill the emptiness within us. And when we heard about Jesus Christ, and when we accepted Jesus as our Savior, both of us, we stopped the search. You know, we being filled with Christ and His Holy Spirit, you know, we knew the journey was over, that what we had been seeking in all the wrong areas, that, you know, as a result of Hill Country Bible Church Northwest and the people we met sharing the gospel and us responding to the gospel, that we've been blessed with a full life.
So we started coming to Hill Country Bible Church in December of 1993, and through middle school, Sunday school, Joey and I separately trusted Christ as our Saviors. We didn't talk about it. We didn't know that each other had made that decision. And then through adults in the church reaching out to our parents, they had also separately made that decision. And so eventually my parents had a conversation with each other and excited about the decisions they had made and shared that exciting news with each other. And they decided, hey, you know what, let's set the kids down and let's share with them our awesome decisions we've made to follow Christ.
Well, let's get this real straight. You guys tried to witness to us.
Yeah. Yes.
You called us down to the kitchen table, and you started sharing the gospel. But I think Nicole maybe interrupted you and said, "Mom, I think she said, "I already did this." And I said, "So did I." And Nicole and I kind of found out that we had prayed to receive Christ at the same time. And then you explained that you had, and then Dad.
You know, within a 2-month period, you know, all 4 of us had crossed, you know, crossed over, and, you know, had the assurance of salvation. And I just thought that was pretty awesome.
As each Sunday, as our children serve in the junior high ministry at Northwest, we felt strongly called by God to come to Hutto, which is a church plant, actually a plant from the Pflugerville Church that was planted by Northwest, to come here each Sunday and to serve this community with the same vision that started Northwest.
When we first started attending Hill Country, we soon jumped into ministry. I jumped into children's ministry and student ministry, and Joe with student ministry. It's such a joy now now being over here at Hutto and serving alongside some of those former students, serving alongside them in ministry. And some of those actually have children now that are attending the children's ministry that I get to work with on Sunday mornings. It's just such a blessing.
And it's a privilege for me to serve on the elder board here at Hutto Bible Church, advancing the same vision that was at Northwest that led to my family becoming a part of the family of believers of Jesus Christ.
When there are times when I doubt, big doubts, whether God exists, whether it's all just made up, you know, or doubts that I think everybody has, somebody once told me, said that whenever you're faced with those doubts, you need to look at the life change in your family, and you need to either come to the conclusion that God is real and who He says He is, and that He had a plan of redemption for your family, or that it was just luck. And it's a real easy choice for me, because luck couldn't have done this. It's not something that...
No one's this lucky.
We went through several years of not having luck.
And I remember one of the first things that happened with Joe is he had a burden for a coworker, and started reaching out to a coworker and investing in this coworker's life. And this coworker came to faith. And now Mike is one of the elders at our North Round Rock church plant. And the stories go on and on. So what I want us to do is give you a chance to participate in the celebration personally. If you have come to faith through the people or the ministry of Hill Country Bible Church, whether a child growing up in the ministry or an adult anywhere along the way, if you've come to faith as a result of somebody or some ministry related to our church, I'd like you to stand now as a testimony to what God's done in your life. Let's just stand up all over the auditorium. While you guys remain standing, let me expand that circle. If you would say that maybe you came to faith, but you had your kind of spiritual renaissance, that this was the place where God just completely changed you, and that happened here, I'd like you to join this group standing with. That's you. Thank you guys for standing. God has been so gracious, and there's so much more to come. And so as we celebrate the past and look forward to the future, I want us to look at a passage of Scripture today where there are two incredible statements that are made about the Church of Jesus Christ. And so if you'll grab a Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 16, we're going to look at two incredible statements. Now, as we look at these two statements, I want you to see in this passage that there is something significant, something that is promised here that is greater than anything that has happened in human history and anything that will happen in human history. So whether we talk about empires, whether we talk about ideas, whether we talk about technology, whether we talk about invention, whatever you want to talk about that humans have accomplished or will accomplish, this is bigger than that. So bigger than the invention of the wheel, bigger than the invention of the printing press, bigger than the idea of democracy, bigger than the ideas that relate to things like the internet or your iPhone or the cure for cancer when it comes. Bigger than all of those things are embedded in this passage of Scripture, and it has to do with the Church of Jesus Christ. Look at what happens. In verse 13 of Matthew chapter 16, it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? an identity question. They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Big name people, important people, people have a high opinion of Jesus. He says, "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now, in this passage, there are two incredible statements that are made, two promises that are spoken that are earth-shattering. They are kingdom-oriented. They're the hope of humanity. Two of these statements, one of them is made by Peter, and one of them is made by Jesus. Let's take the one made by Jesus first. Jesus says in verse 18, "I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." That's the first statement I want us to spend a minute focusing on. Jesus says, "On this rock, I will build my church." Jesus Christ is building his church. Now, it's important to take note that he says, "I will build my church." Okay? The church does not belong to the people. The church does not belong to church leadership, to pastors or elders. The church does not belong to a denomination. The church does not belong to a bishop. It does not belong to a pope. The church is the church that belongs to Jesus. He says, "Upon this rock, I will build my church." And so as we look forward to the next 25 years, we need to understand that the church of Jesus Christ did not start 25 years ago in Northwest Austin at Hill Country Bible Church. It started almost 2,000 years ago, and it's been growing and expanding ever since. The church does not belong to the preferences of the people who attend or participate in it. The church is a worldwide, global movement inspired and authored by Jesus Christ and guided by Jesus Christ, and we get to be part of that. Hill Country Bible Church gets to participate in that, but it's not ours. It belongs to him. The second thing we notice in this passage is that his church will overcome. His church will overcome. Look what he says in verse 18. He says, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Now, that's a strange and interesting expression. In the ancient world, the gates of the city were the places where the important people hung out. That's where they resided. That's where they did business transactions. That's where they had disputes and legal matters settled. That's where the important people sat at the gates of the city. So the gates of Hades or the gates of the grave or the gates of hell would be the place where the powers that control those things sit. So the powers of death, the powers of evil, the powers of Satan are what Jesus has in mind when he speaks this. So when Jesus says the gates of hell or the gates of Hades will not overcome it, he's saying Satan can't stop this. Death can't stop this. Evil can't stop this. There's nothing sinister that is in this life that is going to stop his church from growing and being built and moving forward. I think it's phenomenal that Jesus says this at Caesarea Philippi, because they're standing at a place where one of the centers of Greek pagan worship resided. The Grotto of Pan existed there. There was a big temple right behind where Jesus was at. This temple had been a place of sacred worship for over 300 years and would continue to be a place for 500 years after that. And Jesus is standing there with his 12 guys, 12 no-name guys. And they're all standing there together. And Jesus says, "Listen, I'm going to build my church. And nothing, not even the gates of Hades, not even the powers that be, can overcome that." That would be like you getting together with a few of your buddies and taking a trip to Washington, D.C. and standing in front of the Capitol building and you saying to your buddies, you know what? I'm going to build a country. And I'm going to build a country that is so great that the United States will be forgotten in history. Because the country that I will build will be so monumental, so huge, so amazing that this place here will seem like a myth. And yet that's what Jesus was saying to this group of people. I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. We think of the god Pan only when we read Greek mythology in fifth grade. And Pan's not even a big god. But in that day, he was huge. But you know, when we talk about the Church of Jesus Christ, some 2 billion people strong on the planet and growing, we know that the author of the church is intending to fulfill his promise, and it's happening. Everything that we see in the growth of Hill Country Bible Church over the past 25 years is just part of the promise that Jesus made that he would build his church. We also see in the statement that Jesus will build his church through people. Jesus will build his church through people. Paul picks up on this later in Ephesians chapter 2 and says that the church was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, and that people will come behind and build on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And I don't get that, folks. It seems to me that if God wanted to do something monumental, he'd pick better stock to work with. I know me. And I have some insight into you. Doesn't it seem weird? Why not at least use angels? Why not at least use angels, you know? Why did God choose to work through us? You know why he chose to work through us? So that we could actually have the opportunity of participating in what God is doing in the world. God calls us into a relationship with himself. He saves us, and then he turns around and gives us a purpose in life that will be lauded and rewarded in the kingdom to come. And I would say that that's an incredible blessing. How can it be that a sin-sick person like me could not only receive grace and forgiveness, but could be given a purpose that actually matters? It matters both in this life and the life to come. Wow. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my church. And he gets to use us to do it. The second statement in this passage that is so incredibly powerful is the one made by Peter. Jesus says in verse 15, he says, but what about you? He asked, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter's statement, you are the Christ, the anointed one, the one that was promised who would come to be the Savior of the world. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's saying, you're not the pretend son of some mythical God, some dead idol. You are the Son of the one and only true God, the Creator of heaven and earth. And you've come as the Messiah to bring life to the world. And in that statement, not only do we see that his identity is clear, but his identity has been made clear to us because God has chosen to show it to us. In fact, notice Jesus' response in verse 17. He says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. This was not revealed to you by man. In other words, you weren't smart enough to figure this out. You didn't think this through. It wasn't something that the boys got together and had a little conversation, came up with this. He said, this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. In other words, the identity of the person of Jesus Christ and his mission is something that God revealed to us in history. By sending Jesus in the incarnation, by Jesus performing his miracles, and ultimately by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, God has revealed to us the true identity of Jesus Christ. And God has revealed to us the way that we can be reconciled to Him, that we can have life in His name, that we can have a relationship with God. He goes on to tell us in this passage that this revelation, this good news, this gospel, that Jesus Christ has come and we can have life in His name, this gospel is something that has now been given to us to give to others. Notice what he says in verse 8:19. He says, "And I will give the keys of the kingdom of heaven to you. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And Jesus repeats this in other contexts where he essentially says to Peter and the disciples and those who would come after that we will actually participate with the keys to the kingdom. Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, it would help me if you would reach into your pocketbook or your pocket or whatever and pull out your keys. Can you do that? Everybody's got a set of keys? You say, well, my vehicle and house are so sophisticated, I just speak in voice recognition. I don't need keys anymore. Well, just pretend then. You got the keys in your hand. What are these keys for? Well, I've got one here that opens the church office, and then I've got one that opens the secret rooms in the church that proprietary staff have determined that you guys may break in and take something out of there. So I finally got one of those keys, C2 key, in case anybody wants to borrow it someday. I've got a key to my house and a key to my car. What do these keys do? These keys provide the opportunity for me to gain entrance to something that would normally keep me out of, something I would not normally be able to get into. That's what these keys do. Now, when Jesus says to his disciples there, to Peter and the disciples, when Jesus says to them, "I am going to give you the keys to the kingdom," what would the keys to the kingdom do? They would be the pathway or the thing that actually unlocks the door to allow people to enter into the kingdom. And then Jesus says this incredibly powerful statement. He says, "Whatever you bind on earth," that is, whatever you open the door to and let in on earth, whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven. In other words, heaven has already, in the process of bringing the gospel to us and the Spirit drawing people to Himself, heaven is already working in the world. And through the keys, which I believe in this passage, is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are actually opening the door to those who will come in, and we're actually closing the door to those who will stay out. In other words, when you proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, and people are faced with a decision either to accept Jesus and the free gift of eternal life and to enter into the kingdom, or to reject Jesus and say, "I'm going to stay out. I don't want that." Those people are loosed. The message of the gospel is the one dividing issue that opens the door or closes the door on people here. Now, as you let that sink in for just a second, the keys that you hold in your hand, they provide the opportunity for entrance. You could say to a friend, "Hey, here's the key to my house. Would you like to use it for the weekend?" They can grab that key, open the door, go into the house and experience what you have there. Or they can say, "No thanks, I'm not going to." We're not talking about your house, we're talking about heaven. We're talking about eternal life. We're talking about the kingdom. In other words, what Jesus is saying to his people, to his church, is this: I am going to entrust you with the most important message that will ever be spoken from your lips. The most important message that will ever be communicated to humanity in the world. And that message is the message of who Jesus is and what he's done and how they can have reconciliation with the Father. And the Church of Jesus Christ has actually been called to the greatest mission of humanity, the reconciliation of people. Over the next 25 years, for Hill Country Bible Church to engage in that mission is the most significant thing we could ever do. What I want you to do, take a look at those keys. Every time you pull them from your pocket, every time you pull them from your purse, I want you to see in your hand that as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been given the opportunity to change the eternal destiny of the faces of the men, women, and children in this city and beyond. I want you to see the faces of the family members that you love, the people that you work with, the people you go to school with, the people in your neighborhood, every single one of those people. And when you and I choose to tell that incredible message, we are actually transacting in heaven on their behalf. And there's nothing that you will do in this life that will carry more weight of value than that. God has been faithful to us, and we believe that that faithfulness will continue. He always keeps his promises. And then he calls us to a mission that is world-changing. And so on this dedication celebration Sunday, we want to stop and dedicate the next 25 years to him. We've written a proclamation of our commitment. And I'm going to invite the elders and former elders, their spouses, our church staff, all of you guys to come on up here. We're going to read this proclamation together. So y'all make your way on up here, everybody. Crowd in. Be close. Guess we got choir too. Y'all come on up. What we're going to ask you to do is we're going to ask you to join us. In fact, we're going to have you guys stand as well. We're going to read the proclamation. In fact, Daryl Worsham, our chairman of our elder board, is going to read the proclamation. And there's going to become a part in there. You're going to see it up on the screen. There'll be a part in there where you actually get to join in and speak your proclamation as well. So let me turn it over to Daryl. Y'all come on up.
Almighty God, we stand in your presence today and we proclaim your greatness. We acknowledge your divine providence and celebrate your majesty. For 25 years, you have poured out on this church more grace, more mercy, and more blessing than we could ever ask for or imagine. Each chapter in our history declares the work of your mighty hand and your faithfulness. It is with immeasurable gratitude that we begin our 26th year, knowing that the good work which you have begun in us, you will carry on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. And on that glorious day, we yearn to stand in your presence, confident that we are obedient in all that you entrusted to us, to be your light in this dark world, to tell every man, every woman, and every child in the greater Austin area and beyond the good news that transforms lives. Lord, we implore you to unleash the full power of your Holy Spirit in us, that we may fulfill what we declare today, knowing that apart from you, we can do nothing. May our lips never cease to proclaim the saving power of the gospel that makes broken lives whole, captive hearts free, and the soul separated from God, reconciled to him for now and eternity. Church, participate in reading the rest of this with me. We, your humble servants, resolve today to be a people who will obey your call, go to any lengths, pay any price, forgo our own agendas, confront any challenge, stand firm against the enemy's attacks to win the battle for the souls in our cities and throughout the nations. On this day, we, the family of Hill Country Bible Church, dedicate our future to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, whose name is above every name, and to whom every knee will one day bow. And all God's people said,
Amen. He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become His righteousness. He humbled Himself and carried the cross. That's so amazing. Love so amazing.
Everyone.
Jesus Messiah.
As you leave today, we want to place one of these in your hand. It's a piece that kind of describes what God has done over the past 25 years and what we're looking forward to God doing in the future. So you'll grab one of these on your way out. And may the God of peace, who has called you into his kingdom and into his glory, keep you from stumbling to present you blameless, faultless on the day of Christ Jesus. Go in peace. May God bless you.